Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Night of the Living Dummy 3 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is not the same day as the last part of the last recording, as I indicated. I lied. So what? It's now Monday. I had a weird day where I woke up. And I woke up super early because my fiance went to Disneyland with her sister and her cousin, which is cool. And then I went to work like normal, but the internet was out of my work and I called AT&T and they're like, yep, it's off till Wednesday. I'm like, I can't work. So I went home and I've been working from home, which means that I'm still on the clock and about to record Goosebumps and kind of drunk. Drinking a vodka and pomegranate juice right now. So anyway, you know. The loss of productivity for my company works in your benefit because I'm reading Goosebumps. Chapter number 13. Gusts of wind rattled the attic window panes. Heavy clouds covered the moon. We crept up the attic stairs into the darkness. Up a step, then stop. Up a step, then stop. Trying to be silent. I feel like there's more of an echo in here than normal. Is it? Am I going crazy? Whatever. The old house moaned and groaned beneath us. The attic stretched blacker than the stairway. I reached for the light switch, but Franklin, that's just rude. You've been chilling by yourself all day, and then I start to record, and you just come in here and scratch yourself. I know you don't have fleas, you're on medicine. You got allergies right now, Papa? I love you. Don't kiss my nose, you still smell like skunk. I reached for the light switch, but Dan slapped my hand away. No light for you! Are you crazy? He whispered. It has to be dark. Totally dark. Or else Zane will know that someone is up here, idiot. I know that, I whispered sleepily. I just wanted to take one look at the dummies, you know, make sure they're all here. They're all here, Dan replied impatiently. Just keep moving. We'll hide behind the couch. I bet the dummies aren't all there. That's why they had to indicate that they are. We crept on tiptoe over the attic floorboards. I couldn't see shit. The heavy clouds kept any light from washing in through the windows. Don't lick at the microphone, Franklin. Finally, my eyes adjusted to the darkness. I could see the arms of the couch. I saw dummy heads, dummy shoulders, shadows against shadows. Ooh, that's the name of my poetry book. Dan, where are you? I whispered. Back here, hurry. His whisper came from behind the couch. I could feel the dummy eyes on me as I made my way to the podium to give a political speech. I'm still making those jokes, jabroni. You know who's a real dummy in politics? The person that you don't like. And all your Facebook posts supporting the person you do like are changing everyone's opinions and not just making your friends hate you. I could feel the dummy eyes on me as I made my way around the couch. I thought I heard a soft snicker.
What, did they leave the snicker in the sun too long? Like a snicker bar? Because chocolate melts? Forget it. You guys don't know about chocolate.
The evil laughter again. But that had to be my imagination. I trailed my hand over the couch arm. Felt a wooden dummy hand resting on the arm. The dummy hand felt surprisingly warm. Humanly warm.
What, you gonna stand on the table, Frank? Franklin's on my lap, and he's so handsome.
Don't start imagining things, Trina, I scolded myself. That dummy hand is warm because it's hot up in her, in the attic. The wind rattled the glass. Strong gusts roared against the roof, so low over our heads. I heard a loud groan, a soft chuckle, a strange whistling sound.
Ooh, Franklin! You spooked out, Papa? You spooked out? Yeah, you just want your back scratched.
Ignoring all the attic noises, I ducked down on the floor beside my brother. Well, here we are, I whispered. Now what? Shh! In the darkness, I could see him raising a finger to his lips. Everyone knows that sign. It means, shh, let's be quiet. Oh. Now we wait and listen.
We both turned and rested our backs against the back of the couch, going back to back. That's what the Drake song's about, resting your back against a couch. I raised my knees and wrapped my arms around them. He isn't coming, I whispered. This is a waste of time.
Oh, you think leaning against the couch is a waste of time? What about reading Goosebumps all the fucking time?
Shh, just wait, Trina, Dan scolded. Give him time. I yawned. I felt so sleepy. The heat of the attic was making me even sleepier. I shut my eyes and thought about Zane.
You're not supposed to do that with your cousin.
At dinner, he couldn't wait to pass around the photographs of Rocky. I don't know who took all these shots, Zane complained to my dad. Complaining Zane, that's what they should call him. But they wasted half a roll of film. Dad glared angrily at Dan and me, but he didn't make much of a fuss. Can we talk about it after dinner? He suggested quietly. I'm kind of scared, Zane told Dad in a trembling voice. So many weird things have been happening. It's like the dummies have lives of their own. He shook his head. Wow, I hope I don't have nightmares tonight. Let's not talk about the dummies now, Mom chimed in. Zane, tell us about your school. Who's your teacher this year? What are you studying? Probably dumb shit, because school's stupid and Dune rules and teachers suck.
Franklin, get down. Go.
Good boy.
I like how I'm trying to find the spot in the page where I was, and then I'm like, all right, what is the last thing I say? A Dune rules teacher sucks. That doesn't help at all. Okay, what are you studying? That was the real last line.
Could I have a second helping of potatoes? Uncle Cal interrupted all Samwise Gamgee. He reached for the bowl. They're so good. I may have to make a pig of myself. Dad took another quick glance at the close-up snapshots of Rocky. He flashed Dan and me another scowl. Then he set the photos down on the floor. After dinner, Dan and I were careful to keep as far away from Dad as we could. No way we wanted to hear another lecture about how we were terrifying our poor cousin and how we'd be punished if we didn't stop it at once. Now, it was a little before midnight, the spookiest time, and we were huddled in the dark attic, listening to the swirling wind and the moans and groans of the house, backs pressed against the couch like Drake, waiting. I kept my eyes closed, thinking hard, thinking about Zane, about Rocky. Dan and I aren't alone up here, I thought drowsily. There are 13 wooden dummies up here with us. 13 pairs of eyes staring into the heavy darkness. 13 frozen grins. Except for Rocky's sneer, of course. Empty, lifeless bodies. Like real dolls. Heavy, wooden heads and hands.
Sorry, the real dolls thing put me on a different tangent. My buddy Brian was just talking with me and my other buddy Kelly about his first or second date, third date with a girl from the internets. And I just remembered, wait, I think it's the girl that works for the company that makes real dolls. Apparently they're based out of San Diego. I didn't know that. And goddamn, I would have moved had I known. But yeah, I got to ask him about that right as soon as I finish this chapter.
Thinking about the dummies all around, I guess I drifted off to sleep. Did I dream about the dummies? Maybe I did. I don't know how long I slept. I was awakened by footsteps. Soft, shuffling footsteps across the attic floor. And I knew the dummies had come alive.
Which is every real doll's dream in life. Real doll owner. That's what I meant to say. Whatever, you got it.
Chapter number 14, baby! I jerked my head up and listened hard. My hands were still wrapped around my knees. Both hands had fallen asleep.
Ooh, doing the double stranger. That's a risky beat-off maneuver.
They tingled. The back of my neck ached. My mouth felt dry and sour. I uttered a silent gasp as I heard the shuffling, scraping footsteps move closer. Not dummies walking around, I realized. A single figure. One. One person, moving slowly, carefully, toward the couch. Why did I think I heard dummies moving? It must have been a picture left over from my dream. I shook my hands, trying to make them stop tingling. I was wide awake now, totally alert.
Do you want me to open that window, Frank, in a second? I'll pull up those blinds. Very exciting for the listeners. The footsteps scraped closer. Could it be Dan? Where was Dan? Had he climbed up while I slept? Was he making his way back to the couch? No. I squinted into the darkness. I saw Dan beside me. He had climbed to his knees. He saw me move. He waved his hand and signaled for me to be silent. Once again, it's probably the one finger over the lips. That's what usually means to be silent, you know? Shh, you know? I'm gonna have some water. I crawled to the other end of the couch with both hands. Then he leaned forward and peered out into the room. I crawled to the other end of the couch. Then, keeping low, I poked my head out and squinted into the deep shadows. All grays and blacks. You mean aliens and African Americans? This is getting exciting. The wind howled around the house. Across the big attic room, the window panes rattled and shook. I wanted to jump out, to scream and jump out, and flash on the light. But I felt Dan's hand on my arm. He must have read my thoughts. He raised a finger to his lips. Ooh, third time so far in this part of the... That's why I should have been drinking booze instead of water. Sorry, I had a straw with like a little umbrella on it that Fred left at my house. And I thought it would be festive to have a drink with an umbrella on it. But really, it was just annoying and loud, and I apologize. And plus, you can't see anything, so there's no reason to be festive. Whatever. We both waited, frozen there behind the couch, crouching low, listening to each footstep, each creak of the floorboards. The dark figure stopped in front of the folding chair next to the couch. He stood inches from Dan and me. If I wanted to, I could reach out and grab his leg. I struggled to see his face, but it was hidden by the couch, and I didn't dare raise myself up higher, higher. I heard the loud clonk of wood against wood, two dummy hands hitting each other. I heard the rustle of heavy cloth, the thud of leather shoes bumping each other. The intruder had picked up a dummy off the chair. Squinting into the deep blackness, I could see him swing the dummy over his shoulder. I could see the dummy's arms swaying at his back. The dark figure turned away quickly and began walking to the attic stairs. I crept out from behind the couch, moving on tiptoe. I began to follow the intruder. Pressed against the wall, tiptoeing as silently as I could, I moved across the room. I held my breath, which was not advised from all the characters on my brother and me, but alas, I did hold my breath. I could hear Dan close behind me. I reached the light switch just as the intruder made it to the stairs. My hand fumbled against the wall as I reached for the light switch with a trembling hand. Yes! I flicked on the light, and Dan and I both shrieked at the same time. Chapter number 15, baby. Am I going to say baby at the end of all these? Maybe, baby. Zane, my brother, and I both screamed his name. His name, Zane, we both screamed the same. Zane's eyes bulged. His mouth opened in a high, frightened wail. I saw his knees bend. I think he nearly crumpled to the floor. He uttered several squeaks. Meep, 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 meep. Then his mouth hung open. I could see he was gasping for breath. Zane, we caught you, I managed to choke out. He had Rocky draped over his shoulder. What? What? Zane struggled to speak, presumably in the butt, but no words came out. He sputtered and started to choke. The sneering dummy bounced on his shoulder. Zane, we figured it out, Dan told him. Your little tricks aren't gonna work. Our cousin was still sputtering and coughing. We know it's been you all along, Dan told him. He stepped over and slapped Zane hard on the back a few times. After a few seconds, Zane stopped sputtering. Dan picked Rocky up off Zane's shoulder and started to carry him back to his chair. How did you know? Zane stammered. We just figured it out,
I told him, singing back. What's the big idea, anyway? Zane shrugged. He lowered his eyes to the floor. You know, just having some fun. I glared at him. Some fun? I cried angrily. You tried to get us in huge trouble. You could have ruined our whole summer. Zane shrugged again. It was kind of my turn, you know? Well, we're even now, Dan chimed in. Right, I agreed quickly. We're all even now, right, Zane? He nodded. Yeah, I guess. A grin spread slowly over his face. I had you guys going, didn't I? With that stupid dummy propped up everywhere you looked. Dan and I didn't grin back. You fooled us, I murmured. You fooled everyone, my brother added. Zane grinned, a gleeful grin. I could see how pleased he was with himself. I guess Dan and I deserved it, I confessed. Guess you did, Zane shot back, much like Greedo did. You know, because Han, fuck God, I wish I didn't make that joke. It's like, do I deal with the shame or do I actually edit things? I'd much rather just hate myself than put any effort into doing this, so let's just keep going. Would he ever stop grinning? So, now that we're even, do we have a truce? I demanded. No more joking around with the dummies? No more trying to scare each other or get anyone in trouble? Zane bit his lower lip. Ooh, so coy and sexy. He thought about it a long, long time. Okay, truce, he said finally. Jesus, a horse just neighed outside for like 5 seconds straight, and then when I started talking, started doing it again. I'm sure it didn't pick up on mic, but it was like, and I was like, Jesus, a horse just neighed. That's what happened, but you know, I had to pick up and do the horse sounds as well. That wasn't a real horse sound, like me editing it in. That's actually me making that sound. I know it was convincing. We all shook hands solemnly. Then we slapped each other high fives, as was customary in the 1990s. Then the three of us started laughing. I'm not sure why. The laughter just burst out of us. Crazy giggling. I guess because it was so late and we were so sleepy night-night. And we were so glad we could be friends now. We didn't have to play tricks on one another anymore. As we made our way down the stairs, I felt really happy. I thought all the scary stuff with the dummies was over. I had no way of knowing that it was just beginning. It's funny how Goosebumps work, where every time I read the entire first half, I'm like, oh, I should have just read the Cliff's Notes on that and then the actual story in the second half, because now it's going to the point where it's like, the trouble with the dummies is just beginning, haha, you know, like this is where the story starts after, what, 15 chapters and, what, I don't know, more than halfway done? Shit. Alright, once again, it's hot as hell in this room with the window shut and whatnot, so I've switched to recording in underwear and a wife beater. And switch from drinking a cocktail to a Budweiser. Oh, wait. Not a Budweiser. An America. Yeah. That's what Budweiser can say right now. Until the election's over, apparently. Hell yeah.
Chapter number 16.
The next morning, Dan, Zane, and I went for a long bike ride. The strong winds had faded away during the night. A soft breeze, warm and fresh-smelling, followed us around as we pedaled along the path. The trees were still winter bare. The ground glistened with the silvery morning frost, but the sweet, warm air told me that spring was on its way. What beautiful riding, R.L. Stine. You really put me there. We biked slowly, following a dirt path that curved into the woods. The sun, still low in the sky, warmed our faces. I stopped to unzip my jacket and pointed to a patch of green daffodil leaves beginning to poke up from the ground. Only 3 more months of school, Dan cried. He raised both fists in the air and let out a cheer. You know, like two fists in the air, like double black power. We're going to camp this summer for the first time, I told Zane, up in Massachusetts for 8 weeks, Dan added happily. I know I said this last time, but I never went to camp. So, you know, if anyone wants to pay to send me to camp, like if you guys want all good, if you guys all would like to go to camp with me, Maybe we can, like, rent a summer camp. It doesn't even have to be summer. And we can just go for a week and drink and do a Give Yourself Goosebumps episodes and hang out and go in the lake and get attacked by Jason. Sounds like good times to me. Zane brushed back his blonde hair. He leaned over the handlebars of my dad's bike and began pedaling harder. I don't know what I'm doing this summer, he said. Probably just hanging out. What do you want to do this summer? I asked him, like everyone's been axing Dune when I'm like, yo, my job's ending. I don't know what I'm doing. And they're like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I just want to fucking chill. I don't know what I want to do. I know everyone has some sort of dream, but my dream's not to do shit, you know? I guess, to be honest, if I had free time, which I surprisingly do today, I'm recording this, so maybe do something like this, but once it becomes a job, then maybe I won't want to, I don't know. Who knows? Plus, my liver probably couldn't handle me recording every time. Or every day. Whatever. Do-do-do-do-do-do. He grinned at me. Just hang out. That's what he wants to do. He's like me. We all laughed. I was in a great mood, and so were the guys. Dan kept pulling wheelies, leaning way back and raising his front tire off the ground. Zane tried to do it and crashed into a tree like Sonny Bono. He went sailing to the ground, and the bike fell on top of him. I expected him to whine and complain. That's his usual style. But he picked himself up, muttering, "Smooth move, Jane." He said Zane, but Jane would actually have been funnier in that context. I don't know how I screwed that up, but it worked out well. I deserve more Budweiser. I want to see that one again, Dan joked. Zane laughed. You try it. He brushed the dirt off his jeans and climbed back onto the bike. We pedaled on down the path, joking and laughing. Ah, just some cousins having fun on a summer day. Or I guess a winter day that's turning into spring, as we already established. Never mind, disregard that, let's keep going. I think we were in such great moods because of the truce. We could finally relax and not worry of who was trying to terrify who. The dirt path ended at a small, round pond. The pond gleamed in the sunlight, still half frozen from the long winter. Zane climbed off his bike and rested it on the tall grass. Then he stepped up to the edge of the pond to take photos. Look at the weeds, dog, 420, they're all poking up from the ice and shit, he exclaimed, clicking away. Awesome, fucking awesome, man. He knelt down low and snapped a bunch of weed photos. It's just him in a Rastafarian hat with fake dreadlocks and just 420. And for some reason, Snoop Dogg's there doing that little dance where he like twists his arm like he's driving a bus steering wheel. I guess bus steering wheels are too big for that. That's a big steering wheel. I'm talking about tiny steering wheels. Forget it. Doesn't look like Snoop Dogg at all. Let's just keep going. Dan and I exchanged glances. I couldn't see what was so special about the weeds, but I guess that's why I'm not a photographer. Neither is he. He's a kid with a camera. As Zane stood up, a tiny brown and black chipmunk scampered along the edge of the pond. Zane swung his camera and clicked off a couple shots. Hey, I think I got him, he declared happily. Great, I cried. Everything seemed great this morning. It's about to change, huh? It's too good to be true, isn't it, R.L. Stein? We hung out at the pond for a while. We took a short walk through the woods. Then we started to get hungry for lunch. So we rode back to the house. We were about to return the bikes to the garage when Zane spotted the old well at the back of our yard. Cool, he cried, his blue eyes lighting up. Let's check it out. Holding his camera in one hand, he hopped off his bike and went running across the grass to the well. It's a round stone well with green moss covering the smooth gray stones. It used to have a pointed red roof over it, but the roof blew off during a bad storm, and Dad hauled it away and never replaced it because he's happy having some sort of hazard in his backyard for the kids to fall into. That way he can get on the news and then, you know, promote his book series. Look at these pictures I took by asshole Dad. I don't know where I'm going with that one. This is a weird goosebumps, isn't it, listeners? Zane clicked a bunch of photos. Is there still water down there? He asked. I shrugged. I don't know. Dan grabs Zane around the waist. "We could toss you down and see if you make a splash," he declared. Zane wrestled himself out of my brother's grasp. "I've got a better idea." He picked up a stone and dropped it into the well. After a long wait, we heard a splash far down below. I was just looking around the desk here to see if I had something to drop into my water cup to indicate the sound of a stone falling into a well, and realized that was completely unnecessary and I should just get back to reading. "Cool!" Zane exclaimed. He took several more photos until he had finished the roll. Then we made our way inside the house for lunch. We hurried upstairs to clean up. Zane stopped at the doorway to his room. I saw his eyes bulge and his mouth drop open. I saw his face go white. How tasteless. White face is totally inappropriate. Dan and I ran up next to him. We stared into the bedroom and cried out in horror. I'm gonna keep going. Chapter... But I need some beer first. 17. The room. It's been trashed, Dan stammered. The three of us huddled in the doorway, staring at the bedroom, staring at the unbelievable mess, a.k.a. Dune's life. At first, I thought maybe Zane had left the windows open all night and the strong winds had blown everything around. Stupid wind spirits! I'll get you, Native American bastards! But that didn't make any sense. All the clothes had been pulled out of the closet and tossed over the floor. The dresser drawers had all been pulled out and dumped over the carpet. The bookshelves had been emptied. Fuck books, that's what Dune says as he reads. Books littered the floor. The bed, they were tossed everywhere. One bed table was turned on its side. The other stood upside down on top of the bed. That's no place for a table. This is crazy. A lamp lay on the floor in front of the closet. Its shade was ripped and broken. Look, Zane pointed into the center of the room. Sitting on a tangled hill of clothes was Rocky. The dummy sat straight up, his legs crossed casually in front of him like a homosexual. He sneered at us as if daring us to enter like a homosexual. "I really don't believe this," I cried, tugging at the sides of my hair so I looked like Danny DeVito. "What don't you believe?" Mom's voice made me jump. I turned to see her coming out of the bedroom. Out of her bedroom, sorry, that makes more sense. She tucked her blue sweater into her mom jeans as she walked toward us. "Mom," I cried, "something terrible has happened." Her smile faded. "What on earth?" she started. I stepped aside so she could see into Zane's room. "Oh no," Mom cried out and raised both hands to her cheeks as if she were posing for a picture with Macaulay Culkin. She swallowed hard. "Did someone break in? Was this the blacks?" Her voice sounded tiny and frightened and racist. I peered quickly into my room across the hall. "No, I don't think so," I reported. "This is the only room that's fucked up." But, Mom sputtered. Then her eyes stopped on Rocky on top of the pile of clothes. "What is he doing down here?" Mom demanded. "We don't know," I told her. "But who did this?" Mom cried, asking the obvious questions, still pressing her hands against her cheeks. "We didn't," Dan declared. "We've been outside all morning," Zane added breathlessly. "It wasn't Trina or Dan or me. We weren't home. We were riding bikes." "But someone had to do this," Mom declared. "Someone deliberately tore this room apart." "But who was it?" I wondered. My eyes darted around the mess, landing on the sneering dummy. Who was it? Chapter number 18. We all pitched in and helped to get the room back together. It took the rest of the afternoon. The lamp in front of the closet was broken. Everything else just had to be picked up and put back where it belonged. We worked in silence. None of us knew what to say. At first, Mom wanted to call the police because she's a snitch-ass bitch, but there was no sign that someone had broken into the house. All the other rooms were perfectly okay. Dad returned home from the camera shop while we were still cleaning up. He, of course, was furious. "What do I have to do? Bolt the attic door?" he shouted at Dan and me. He grabbed up Rocky and slung the dummy over his shoulders. "This isn't a joke anymore," Dad said, narrowing his eyes at both of us. "This isn't funny. This is serious." People say that shit to me all the time about stuff that, in fact, is serious, but also funny. "But we didn't do it!" I protested for the 100th time. "Yeah, that's what you get for protesting. That shit doesn't work. Nobody cares." "Well, the dummy didn't do it," Dad shot back, having never read a Goosebumps book. "That's one thing I know for sure." "I don't know anything for sure," I thought. I stared at Rocky's sneering face as Dad started down the hall to the attic stairs. Then I bent down to pick up the broken lamp from the floor. Ooh, drinking break. That night, I dreamed once again about ventriloquist dummies. I saw them dancing, a dozen of them, doing the Macarena, cause it's the 90s and everyone had to do the Macarena. If they went to a sporting event, it's not optional, you're forced to dance the Macarena, motherfucker. All of Dad's dummies from upstairs, I saw them dancing in Zane's room, dancing over the tangled piles of clothes and books, dancing over the bed, over the toppled bed table. I saw Rocky dancing with Miss Lucy. I saw Wilbur doing a frantic, crazy dance on top of the dresser. And I saw Smiley, the new dummy, clapping his wooden hands, bobbing his head, grinning from the middle of the room as the other dummies danced around him. They waved their big hands over their heads, their skinny legs twisted and bent. They danced in silence, no music, no sound at all, like a deaf rave. As their bodies twisted and swayed, their faces remained frozen. They grinned at one another with blank, unblinking eyes. Grinned their frightening, red-lipped grins. Bobbed and bent, tilted and swayed, verbed and verbed. Grinning. The whole time in eerie silence. And then the grins faded as I pulled myself out of the dream. I opened my eyes. Slowly woke up. Felt the heavy hands around my neck. Stared into Rocky's ugly face. Rocky on top of me. The dummy on top of my blanket over me. Reaching his heavy wooden hands for my throat. Damn, I'm good at reading Goosebumps.
Chapter number. Drinking another cocktail as well as the beer and the water so I can completely fill my bladder. Also got a text telling me that it wasn't the real doll girl, so disregard that. 19.
I opened my mouth in a shrill scream of horror. My hands shot out. I grabbed the dummy's hands. I thrashed my legs, kicked off the blanket, kicked at the dummy. The big eyes stared at me as if startled. I grabbed his head, shoved him down. I sat up, my entire body trembling. Then I grabbed the dummy's waist and flung that motherfucker to the floor. Thud, thud. The ceiling light flashed on. Mom and Dad burst into my room together. "What's happening? Trina, what's wrong?" They both stopped short when they saw the dummy sprawled on the floor beside my bed. He, I gasped, pointing down at Rocky. I struggled to catch my breath. "Rocky, he jumped on me. He tried to choke me. I woke up and..." Dad let out a growl and tore at his hair. "This has got to stop," he bellowed. Mom dropped down beside me on the bed and wrapped me in a hug. "Yeah, that's how parents are supposed to work, Dad. They're not supposed to just bellow." I couldn't stop my shoulders from trembling. I was so scared. I choked out. I woke up and there he was. This is out of control. Dad screamed, referencing the current election, am I right? Still topical, dude. Shaking his fist in the air like Grandpa Simpson. Out of control! Mom calmed me down. Calm Mom. Then she and I both had to calm Dad down. Finally, everyone was calm, like at a Xanax convention. Are those real things? If they had a bar there and they had a Xanax convention, people that went there wouldn't even remember, because that shit ruins your memory. They turned out the light and made their way out of my room, presumably to make beautiful love in their bedroom. They closed the door. I heard Dad carrying Rocky back up to the attic, presumably to make beautiful love to his doll. Maybe Dad should get a lock for the attic door, I thought. I shut my eyes and tried not to think about Rocky, or Zane, or the dummies, or anything at all. After a while, I must have drifted back to sleep. I don't know how much time passed. I was awakened by a knock on the door. Police. Two sharp knocks, and then two more. I sat straight up with a gasp. I knew that Rocky had come back. And this time, it's a movie about his rival son. And I can't recall the name, and I regret trying to make this joke, but to make it up to you, I'm just going to keep drinking. Dear God, keep reading. Fucking Freudian slip.
Chapter number 20.
The bedroom door creaked open slowly. Seems like this house could use some WD-40, am I right, listeners? I took a deep breath and held it like I was vaping, staring through the dark. Trina? A voice whispered. Trina, are you awake? As the door opened, a rectangle of gray light spilled into the room from the hallway. Dan poked his head in, then took a few steps across the floor. Trina, it's me. I let out my breath in a long whoosh. Dan, what do you want? My voice was hoarse from sleep. I heard everything, Dan said, stepping up beside my bed. He pulled down one pajama sleeve. Then he raised his eyes to me. Zane, put Rocky on your bed. Zane Dunn did it, Dan Dunn whispered. Huh? Why do you say that? We all have a truce, remember? Zane agreed the tricks were all over. Right, Dan whispered. And now Zane thinks he can really scare us, because we don't suspect him any longer. Zane hasn't given up. What? He's not Rick Astley. Oh, wait. Fuck. God damn it. Trina, I'm sure of it. I bit my lower lip. I tried to think about what Dan was saying, but I was so sleepy. Dan leaned close and whispered excitedly. This morning, before we went biking, Zane went up to his room, remember? He said he forgot his camera, so he had time to mess up his room before we left the house. Yeah, maybe, I maybe murmured. And tonight, he brought Rocky down and set him on your bed. I'm sure of it, Dan insisted. I'm sure it's Zane. We have to hide up in the attic again, and this time maybe kiss a little. Tomorrow night, we'll catch Zane again. I know we will. Hide up there again? No way, I cried. It's hot up there, and too creepy. And I'm staying as far away from those dummies as I can. My brother sighed. I know I'm right, he whispered. I don't know what I know, I replied. I don't know anything about anything. You couldn't put this out right now. People would be like, you can't have the woman character say she doesn't know anything. Women, I don't know. I'm trying to fight battles that I'm not involved in. I'm in a committed relationship with a woman I love that, you know, makes more calls than I do on big things in life. I slid under the covers like pigs in a blanket and pulled the blanket over my head and tried to go back to sleep. Drinking break. The next night, Mom and Dad had a dinner party in honor of Zane and Uncle Cal. They invited the Birches, more like the Bitches, and the Canfields, more like the Cantfields from down the street, and Cousin Robin, more like cousin Batman. Good one. And her husband, Fred. What up, Fred? Fred is a great guy. You're telling me. Everyone calls him Froggy because he can puff out his cheeks like a frog. Frogs don't puff out their cheeks. They puff out their throat. They should call him Chipmunk. Froggy is short and very round and kind of looks like a frog. He always makes me laugh. He knows a million great jokes. Unlike Dune, who only knows the joke, hey, when's the best time to go to the dentist? 2:30. That's his only joke. Robin is always trying to get him to shut up, but he never does. Oh, that actually sounds like my relationship. Mom and my fiance hung out with a girl that was actually really cool. That only had one leg on Saturday. And she was like, yeah, I'm going to hang out with her more because she's a cool girl, but I have to warn her that you're very curious and you're eventually going to start asking her questions about life with one leg. And I was like, God damn it. I thoroughly appreciate you knowing me, loving me, and accepting the fact that if someone comes over with one leg, I got a million questions. Mom and Dad don't have many dinner parties, so they had to work all day to get the dining room ready, to set the table, and to cook dinner. Mom made a leg of lamb. Couldn't afford the whole thing, huh? Dad cooked up his specialty. Caribbean-style scalloped potatoes. Very spicy. Muy picante! Mom bought flowers for the table. She and Dad brought out all the fancy plates and glasses that we usually see only on holidays, with pictures of different members of the Starship Enterprise D's crew. The dining room looked really awesome as we all sat down to dinner. Dan, Zane, and I were all down at the far end of the table. Froggy sat at our end, I guess because he's just a big kid. Yeah, luckily I don't get the kid part of the table because I get drunk. I make a bunch of dumb jokes all the time, but if you drink enough, you don't get to the kid side of the table. Froggy told me a moron joke. Someone asks a moron, can you stand on your head? And the moron says, no, I can't. It's up too high. All right. I started to laugh when I saw Zane jump up from the table. Where are you going? I called after him. Zane turned back at the dining room doorway. To get my camera, he replied. I want to take some pictures of the table before it gets all fucked up. He disappeared upstairs. A few seconds later, we all heard him scream. Drinking break. Chairs scraped the floor as everyone jumped up. We all went running up the stairs. I reached Zane's room first. From the doorway, I saw him standing in the center of the room. I saw the sick look on Zane's face. And then I saw the camera in his hand. Or what was left of the camera. It looked as if it had been run over by a truck. The film door had been twisted off and lay on the floor. The lens was smashed. The whole camera body was bent and broken. Zane turned the camera over in his hands, glancing down at it, sadly, shaking his head. I raised my eyes to the bed and saw Rocky sitting on the bedspread. A roll of gray film unspooled across his lap. Dad burst into the room. All of our other guests pushed in after him. What happened? Someone asked. Is that Zane's camera? What's going on? That's what happens when you try to take my picture, Froggy joked. Hey, Froggy, shut the fuck up, okay? This isn't the time. This kid has one thing that he likes in life and is broken. Just fucking chill out for 10 seconds, Froggy. No one laughed. It wasn't funny. Thank you. Dad's face turned dark red. What makes the red dad? Red camera, camera, camera. As he took the camera from Zane's hand, Dad carefully examined it. His expression remained grim. This isn't mischief anymore, he murmured. I could barely hear him over the other voices in the room. Everyone had begun talking at once. This cannot be allowed, Dad said solemnly. He raised his eyes to Dan, then me. He stared at us both for the longest time without saying anything. Zane let out a long sigh. I turned and saw that he was about to cry. Oh my. Zane, I started, but
He uttered an angry shout. Then he pushed past Froggy and Mr. and Mrs. Birch, a.k.a. Bitch, am I right? And went running from the room. Someone here has done a very sick thing, Dad said sadly. He raised the camera to his face, running a finger over the broken lens. This is a very expensive camera. It was Zane's most prized possession, and we're not aware that other cameras can come out that are much better years later that don't require film and take better pictures. All of our guests became very quiet as Dune continued to get text messages. Dad kept his eyes on Dan and me. He started to say something else, but then we all heard the deafening crash from downstairs.
Chapter 21.
What is going on here? Dad cried. He tossed the broken camera onto the bed and darted from the room. The others went hurrying after him, all talking at once. I heard their shoes pounding down the stairs. I turned to Dan. Still think Zane is doing these things? Dan shrugged. I don't know, maybe, fuck, who am I supposed to be? Some sort of mind reader? Am I Jombie from Pee-wee's Playhouse? I don't know if he reads minds, but he grants wishes, so that's cool. No way, I told him, you're not Jombie at all. No way Zane is going to smash his own camera. He loved his camera. No way he would smash it just to get you and me in trouble. Dan raised troubled eyes to me. Then I don't get it, he said in a tiny voice. I could see the fear on his face. I heard startled shouts and cries of alarm from downstairs. Let's check out the next disaster, I said, rolling my eyes. We reached the bedroom door at the same time and squeezed through together like the Three Stooges, but there's only two of us so we could fit through fine. Then I led the way along the hall and down the stairs and up your butt and around the corner. I fought back my own fear as we approached the dining room. Something very strange was going on in this house, and presumably the Circle K. I knew Dad was right when he said it was no joke. Tearing Zane's room apart wasn't a joke. It was evil. Wrecking Zane's camera was evil, too. Thinking about Rocky gave me a chill. The dummy was always there. Whenever something evil happened, there sat Rocky. Trina, don't be crazy, I scolded myself. Don't start thinking that a wooden ventriloquist dummy can be evil. That's crazy thinking. That shit is messed up. But what could I think? My throat tightened. My mouth suddenly felt very dry, as if I'd eaten hecka edibles. I took a deep breath and led the way into the dining room. I saw Dad in the kitchen doorway. He had his arm around Mom's shoulders. Mom had her head buried against Dad's shirt sleeve. Was she crying? What do you think, listeners? Yes. The guests all stood around the wall, shaking their heads, their expressions grim and confused. They muttered quietly, staring at the disaster. The disaster, the terrible disaster, the after disaster, the dining room table. I saw the overturned platters first, Dad's scalloped potatoes smeared over the tablecloth, clumps of potatoes stuck to the wall and the front of the china hutch. The salad poured over the floor and the chairs. The bread ripped into small chunks. No, not croutons! The chunks tossed over the table. The flowers ripped off their stems. The vase on its side. That's not how vases go. They need to be vertical. Vertical, goddammit, not horizontal. Never horizontal. Water poured all over the tablecloth, puddling on the floor. The glasses all turned over. A bottle of red wine tipped over, a dark red stain spreading over the tablecloth. I heard Mom's sobs. I heard the sounds of Dad's muttering attempts to calm her down. I saw the other guests shaking their heads, their faces so upset, so concerned, so puzzled. And then Dan grabbed my shoulder and pointed me toward the head of the table, and I saw two dummies sitting there on dining room chairs. Wilbur and the new dummy. Wilbur and Smiley. They sat at the table, grinning at each other, wine glasses in their hands, as if celebrating, as if toasting each other.
Chapter number 22.
That night, Dan and I hid behind the couch in the attic, once again going back to back. The attic stretched dark and silent. So dark, I could barely see my brother sitting beside me, unless he smiled.
I don't know.
We were both in pajamas, like bananas. The air was hot and dry, but my hands and my bare feet felt cold and clammy. We talked softly, our legs stretched out on the floor, resting against the back of the couch. As we talked, we waited and listened to every sound. It was nearly midnight, but I didn't feel sleepy. I felt alert, ready for anything, ready to catch Zane in the act once again. This time, I brought my little flash camera with me. Camera-heavy family, am I right? When Zane crept up here to carry one of those dummies downstairs, I'd snap his photo. Then I'd have proof to show Mom and Dad. Yes, I finally decided that Dan was right. Zane had to be the one who was destroying our house. Destroying our house and trying to scare everyone into thinking the dummies had come to life. But why? I whispered to Dan.
It's like Scooby-Doo, you know. They pull the mask off, but why? I wanted insurance money or some shit, I don't know.
Did we scare Zane so badly the last time he was here? So badly that he'll do anything to pay us back? He's sick, Dan muttered. That's the only answer. It's totally fucked up. So fucked up that he wrecks his own camera? I murmured, shaking my head. So fucked up that he ran downstairs and trashed the dining room? Dan added. The dining room. That's what convinced me that Zane was guilty.
In Zane and the men Zane aren't. I know I said that last time, but it's crazy.
All of us were upstairs in Zane's room, examining his broken camera. Zane was the only other person downstairs. Zane was the only person in the house who could have trashed the dining room and wrecked the dinner. Of course, he acted horrified and shocked. Of course, he acted as if he didn't have a clue about what had happened. What a sad, sad night. This is our Kristallnacht, you know, camera knocked. The dinner guest didn't know how to say what to say to Mom and Dad. It was such a frightening mystery. No one had an answer. The guests helped clean up the mess. Guests, mess, they're the best. You should put them to the test. What about the rest? Who would have guessed? Dune's gonna stop and he cannot jest. The food was ruined. It couldn't be eaten. No one felt like eating anyway. Everyone left as soon as the dining room was cleaned and cleared. As the last guest left, the best, I'm kidding, I turned to Dan.
Ruh-roh,
I whispered. Family conference time.
FCT.
We're in for a major lecture now. But I was wrong. Mom hurried up to her room, and Dad said he was too disgusted to talk to anyone. Uncle Cal asked if Dad would like him to take the car and pick up some fried chicken or hamburgers or something. Dad just scowled at him and stomped away. He carried Smiley and Wilbur up to the attic. Why don't they lock that door like they were saying? Something's weird. At least keep the person from doing all this horrible shit out of there, right? I heard the slam of the attic door. Then he disappeared into the bedroom to help comfort Mom with his penis. Zane turned to his dad. I can't believe my good camera is smashed like Dune, he whimpered. Uncle Cal placed a hand on Zane's shoulder. I'll bet your Uncle Danny has a new camera at his shop that he'll want to give you.
Jesus, what an asshole. You know, he sells cameras for a living, and clearly he doesn't have a lot of money, but yeah, he'll give you a brand new one. Good quality.
But I liked my old camera, Zane wailed like a spoiled bitch. And that's when I decided he was guilty.
He's a phony, I decided. Like Catcher in the Rye, a phony. He's carrying on like this, putting on a show for Dan and me. But I wasn't going to fall for it. No way, Jose. I made sure I had film in my little camera. Then I grabbed Dan and we crept up to the attic to wait. To wait in the darkness and catch Zane. It'd be rad if the end of this Goosebumps story was the dad being like, yeah, we gotta bolt up the attic, and the kids are in there, but they're in the attic and they can't hear him. And then he bolts his kids in and then they fucking die in there and he has to deal with that regret in the next, like, you know, eighth of a book or however much is left. It's just about a father dealing with his decision to lock an attic and killing his children. I'm just saying it would be spookier, but I guess that's more for Fear Street. To end the disasters in our house once and for all, we didn't have to wait long. After about half an hour, I heard the tap of soft footsteps on the attic floor. I sucked in my breath as if I was posing for a picture at the beach. My whole body tensed, and I nearly dropped the camera. Beside me, Dan raised himself to his knees. My heart pounded. I crept to the edge of the couch. Tap. Tap. Shuffling footsteps on the bare floorboards, I saw a dark figure bend down and lift a dummy off a chair. It's Zane, I whispered to Dan. I knew it. In the heavy darkness, I could see him carrying the dummy to the stairs. I stood up. My legs trembled, but I moved quickly. I raised the camera, stepped in front of the couch, pushed the shutter button. The room flashed in an explosion of white light, white heat, white trash. I clicked off another one, another bright white flash. And in the flash, I saw Rocky dangling over Zane's shoulder. No, not Zane, not Zane. In the flash of light, I saw Rocky dangling over another dummy's shoulder. Smiley, the new dummy. The new dummy was shuffling toward the stairs, carrying Rocky away.
Chapter 23.
The dummy turned. My hand fumbled for the light switch. I clicked on the light. I stood frozen in front of the couch, too startled to move. Smiley, stop! I screamed. The dummy's grin faded. The eyes narrowed at me. I'm not Smiley, he croaked. He had a hoarse, raspy voice. My name is Slappy. He turned back to the stairs. Stop him! I cried to my brother. We both made a dive for the dummy. Slappy spun around. He pulled Rocky off his shoulder and heaved him at Dan. Take this dummy! That's probably what he would have, you know, said if he said something. I grabbed Slappy around the waist and tackled him to the floor. He swung both hands hard. One of them slammed into my forehead. I guess that's why they call him Slappy, right? Because the slapping? Because he's a dummy that slaps the people. That we learned that in the first book. Forget it. I let out a groan as the pain shot through me. My hands slid off the dummy's slender waist. Slappy jumped nimbly to his feet, his grin wide and leering. He was enjoying this. He kicked me in the side with the toe of his big leather shoe. My head still throbbing, I rolled out of the way and turned back in time to see Dan grab the dummy from behind and give him a reach around. Dan drove his head into the dummy's back. They both dropped hard to the floor.
Let go of me, slave! Slappy demanded in his ugly, hoarse voice. You are my slave now. Let go of me, I order you.
I pulled myself to my knees as Dan and Slappy wrestled over the floor.
He's so strong, Dan called out to me.
Slappy rolled on top of him and got in the reverse cowgirl position. Oh, wait, no, he was facing him and started to pound him with his wooden fists. I grabbed Slappy by the shoulders and tugged with all my strength. Slappy swung his arms, thrashing at my brother. I pulled hard, trying to tug him off Dan's stomach.
Let go, the dummy shrieked. Let go, slave!
Get off him, I cried, which would have been totally different than if I had shouted, get him off, you know, because that's a different thing. We were making such a racket, I didn't hear the attic door open downstairs, and didn't hear the footsteps running up the stairs. A face appeared, and then a large body. Dad, I cried breathlessly, Dad, look! What on earth? Dad exclaimed. Dad, it's alive! The dummy is alive! I shrieked. Huh? Squinting through his glasses, Dad lowered his gaze to the dummy on the floor. The dummy sprawled lifelessly on its back beside Dan. One arm was twisted beneath its back. Both legs were bent in two. He's probably just twerking. I don't know exactly what twerking is, but this sounds like it. The mouth hung open in its painted grin. The eyes stared blankly at the ceiling. It is alive, Dan insisted. It really is. Dad stared down at the still, silent dummy. The dummy picked up Rocky, Dan declared in a high, excited voice. He said his name was Slappy. He picked up Rocky. He was carrying him downstairs. Dad tisk-tisked and shook his head. Give it up, Dan, he murmured angrily. Just stop it right now. He raised his eyes to Dan and then to me. I knew you two were the troublemakers. But, Dan, I protested, I'm not an idiot. Then how come you don't believe them about the dummy that's been doing all the horrible shit? Dad snapped, scowling at me. You can't expect me to believe a dumb story about a dummy coming to life and carrying another dummy around. Have you both lost your fucking minds entirely? It's true, Dan insisted. We both gazed down at Slappy. He sure didn't look alive. For a moment, I had the frightening feeling that I'd dreamed the whole scene and not seen what I had seen. But then I remembered something. I have proof, I cried, like the members of D12 can no longer do. Dad, I can prove to you that Dan and I aren't lying. Dad rubbed the back of his neck. I'm so tired, he moaned. It's been such a long, horrible day. Please give me a break, Trina. But I took some pictures, I told him. I have pictures of Slappy carrying Rocky. Trina, I'm warning you, Dad started. Sorry. But I spun away, searching for my camera. Where was it? Where? It took me a few seconds to spot it on the floor against the wall, back by the couch. I hurried across the room to grab it and stopped halfway. The back of the camera had sprung open. The film was exposed and the pictures were ruined. Stupid non-digital cameras! The camera must have flown out of my hand when I tried to tackle Slappy, I realized. I picked it up and examined it, sadly. No pictures, no proof. Tits or get the fuck out. I turned back to find Dad scowling at me. No more wasting my time, Trina. You two are grounded until further notice. I'm so disgusted with both of you. Your mother and I will think of other punishment for you after your cousin leaves. Then, Dad waved a hand at Slappy and Rocky. Put them away, right now, and stay out of the attic. Stay away from my dummies. They're much more important to me than my real kids. That's all I have to say to you two motherfuckers. Good night. Dad turned away sharply and stomped down the stairs. If he were a dummy, his name would be Stompy. I glanced at Dan and shrugged. I didn't know what to say. My heart was pounding, knees weak, arms are heavy. Mom's spaghetti. I was so angry, so upset, so hurt. My chest felt about to explode. I bent down to pick up Slappy. The dummy winked at me. His ugly grin grew wider, and then he puckered up his red lips and made disgusting, wet kissing sounds. Let me get my lips wet for this. Ugh, Sorry, listeners. I just had to bring you into that moment. You can all stop this podcast and bathe if you need to, because that was heavy. I brought you into it.
Chapter 24. Don't touch me, slave, Slappy growled. I gasped and jumped back. I still couldn't believe this was happening. I wrapped my arms around myself to stop my body from trembling. You really are alive. Dan asked softly.
Let me finish this.
You bet your soft head I am, the dummy roared. What do you want? I cried. Why are you doing this to us? Why are you getting us all in trouble?
The ugly grin spread over his face.
If you treat me nice, slaves, maybe I won't get you in trouble anymore. Maybe you'll get lucky.
He tapped his head and added,
knock on wood.
We're not your slaves, I insisted. Yoda,
come here.
He tossed back his head and let out a dry laugh.
Who's the dummy here? He cried. You or me?
Huh, Yoda? Yoda's by the microphone now and on my lap.
You carried Rocky downstairs all those times? Dan asked. I could see that my brother was having a hard time believing this, too.
You don't think that big bag of kindling can move on his own, do you? Slappy sneered. I had some fun with that ugly guy. I put him at the scene of the crimes to throw you off the track, to keep you slaves guessing.
And you smashed Zane's camera and ruined the dinner party? I demanded. He narrowed his eyes to evil slits.
I don't think, unlike R.L. Stein, I don't think people with narrow eyes are evil. I think they have different genetic traits in us, and that we're all human beings deep down, and that we're not different. But once again, R.L. Stein says, you squint your eyes a little bit and you're evil, and I don't believe that's the case, but, you know, he grew up during the Korean War in Vietnam, and I understand that he's, you know, from a different time, but I'm just saying it's, you know, it's not how I roll, and I don't want to read these parts and not address it, you know? I'm fine with trans people, you know? I'm cool, I'm hip, you know? You can do whatever you want with your ding-dongs.
He narrowed his eyes to evil slits.
I'll do much worse if you slaves don't obey me. I could feel the anger rising through my body.
You're going to ruin everything, I screamed at him. You're going to ruin our lives. You're going to keep us from going to camp this summer.
Slappy snickered.
You won't be going to camp. You'll be staying home to take good care of me and wipe my little doll butt.
And then I exploded.
No!
I uttered a long wail of protest. I grabbed his head in both hands and started to tug. I remembered his head had been split in two when Dad found him. I planned to pull his head apart, to split it in two again. He kicked his legs frantically and thrashed his arms. His heavy shoes kicked at my legs, but I held on tight, pulling, pulling, struggling to pull his head apart.
Let me try,
Dan called. I let out a sigh and let him try. By and by, my oh my, I let him try. God, I need to stop doing these ridiculous one-word rhymes.
And dropped the dummy to the floor.
It's no use, I told Dan. Dad did too good of a job. It's glued tight.
Slappy scrambled to his feet. He shook his head. Thanks for the head massage, slave. Now rub my back.
He laughed, an ugly, dry laugh that sounded more like a cough. Great acting work, Dune. No problem, Dune. You're great. You're great. Stop it.
Dan stared at the dummy in wide-eyed horror.
Trina, what are we going to do? He cried, his voice just above a whisper.
How about a game of kick the dummy down the stairs, Slappy suggested, leering at us. We'll all take turns being the dummy. You can go first.
We have to do something, Dan stammered.
He's a monster. He's evil. We have to get rid of him.
But how? I wondered. How?
And then I had an idea. The 25th chapter of this long-ass book.
Slappy must have read my thoughts. He turned and started to run, but I dove fast and wrapped my hands around his skinny-ass legs. He let out a harsh, angry cry as I began twisting his legs around each other, struggling to tie them in a knot. He swung an arm. The wooden hand caught me on the ear, but I held on. Dan, grab his arms. Hurry. My brother moved quickly. Slappy tried to bat him away, but Dan ducked low, and when he came up, he grabbed Slappy's wrists and held on. Let me go, slaves. The dummy rasped like a berry, am I right? Let me go now. You'll be sorry. You'll pay. I saw the fear on Dan's face. Slappy swung a hand free. He tried to swipe at Dan's throat as if it was tinder, but he missed. Dan reached out and grabbed onto the loose arm again. I felt eyes on me. I glanced up to see the other dummies around the room. They appeared to watch us struggle. A silent, still audience.
Yeah, like when you do stand-up because you're not funny, idiots. I've never done stand-up and I don't really have any interest in it.
I pulled a red handkerchief off a dummy's neck and I stuffed it in Slappy's mouth to keep him quiet. Downstairs, hurry, I instructed my brother. The dummy twisted and squirmed, trying to break free. He wants to break free, but his legs tied around his... fucking Christ, let me have a drink of this cocktail I just made. But I had his legs tied around each other, and Dan kept a tight grip on his arms. We began making our way to the attic stairs. Where are we taking him? Dan demanded. Outside, I replied. Did I lie? Nah. That's implied. I don't know. The dummy bucked and squirmed. I nearly dropped him. In our pajamas? Dan asked. I nodded and began backing down the stairs. Slappy struggled hard to get free. I nearly lost my balance and toppled over backwards. We're not going far, I groaned. Somehow, we made it all the way downstairs. I had to let go with one hand to open the front door. Slappy bucked his knees. Trying to untangle his legs, I pushed open the door, grabbed the legs again. Dan and I carried the squirming dummy outside. A cold, clear night. A light, silvery frost over the grass. A half moon high over the trees. What a beautiful haiku. Oh! I let out a moan as my bare feet touched the frozen grass. Ugh, it's probably a slug. Gross. It's cold, Dan stammered. I can't hold on much longer, Dan said like a little bitch. I saw him shiver. The front lawn suddenly darkened as clouds rolled over the moon. My legs trembled. The damp cold seeped through my thin pajamas. Where are we taking him? Dan whispered. Around to the back.
Ah, they're going to the well, right? Oh, no, Slappy's going to pee and they're drinking water and then they got to drink doll pee. That's gross.
Slappy kicked hard, but I held on tightly. Something scampered past my bare feet. I heard scurrying footsteps over the frosty ground. A rabbit? A raccoon? Is it skunks? No, because all the skunks are living under Dune's house right now. I didn't stop to see. Gripping Slappy's ankles with both hands, I backed along the side of the house.
My feet are numb, Dan complained. Almost there, I replied.
Slappy uttered hoarse cries beneath the kerchief that gagged in his mouth. Kerchief? Kerchief? Whatever, you know what I was saying. His round eyes rolled wildly. Again, he tried to kick free. Dan and I hauled him to the back of the yard. By the time we got to the old well,
old well Dune Dunwell called it, you know,
my feet were frozen, numb too, and my whole body shook from the cold. What are we going to do? Dan asked in a tiny voice. The clouds rolled away. Shadows pulled back. The silvery moonlight lit up the old stone well. We're going to toss him down the well like Borat would do to a Jew, I groaned. Dan stared at me, surprised. He's evil, I explained. We have no choices. Dan nodded.
Oh, you're just going to throw him in the well? You're just doing your job? Is that your Nuremberg defense?
We lifted Slappy onto the smooth stones at the top of the well. He bucked and kicked. He tried to scream through his gag. I saw Dan shiver again. It's a wooden dummy, I told him. It isn't a person. It's an evil wooden dummy.
Oh, that's a little thing you gotta keep telling yourself when you murder people.
Look, it's not a person. It's someone from a rival gang, which means we should kill them.
See? That justification never works. It's alive. And sentient, you know?
You gotta let it be free. You gotta be a slave. We both shoved hard at the same time. The dummy slid off the stone wall and dropped into the well. Dan and I both waited until we heard the splash from far below. Then we ran side by side back to the house.
They should have put something over the top of that well, if you ask me.
He's gone, I thought gratefully, joyfully. The evil thing is gone for good.
This isn't the last chapter. It's not gone for good, but there is a drinking break. I broke drinking break rules by just having some water that time, you know? Gotta get hydrated. It's been hot.
I slept really well that night, and I didn't dream about dummies. The next morning, Dan and I met in the hall. We both were smiling. We felt so good. I was actually singing as I followed Dan down the stairs for breakfast. I want to break free. This song's still stuck in my head. I don't like Queen as much as my fiance, but still, I don't know the rest of that song. Dad greeted us at the kitchen door with an angry frown. What is he doing here? Dad demanded. He pointed into the kitchen, pointed at the breakfast table, pointed to Slappy, sitting at the breakfast table, grinning, his ugly painted grin, his eyes wide and innocent. Chapter 26. Dan's mouth dropped open. I let out a sharp cry. Don't act stunned. Just get him out of here, Dad said angrily. And why is he all wet? Did you have him out in the rain? I glanced out the kitchen window. Lightning flashed through the dark gray sky. Sheets of rain pounded on the glass. Thunder rumbled overhead. Not a very nice morning, Uncle Cal said, stepping up behind Dan and me. I've got coffee ready, Dad told him. I see your friend here beat us down to breakfast, Uncle Cal said, motioning to Slappy.
I feel like Uncle Cal is going to be more of a pivotal character in a little bit, just because he's been living at the house and hasn't really come up much, but we keep seeing his name, but we'll find out, won't we?
The dummy's grin seemed to grow wider. Get him out of here, Trina, Dad repeated sharply. Anyone want pancakes this morning? He moved to the cabinet and started searching for a frying pan. Make a few extra for me. I'm starving.
I just held my stomach and then went back and forth. I don't know what that was supposed to mean. I think I was just calling him fat,
Uncle Cal said. I'll go see if Zane is up. He turned and hurried out of the kitchen. Dad leaned into the cabinet, banging pots and pans, searching for the one he always used to make pancakes.
Dad, I have to tell you something, I said softly. I couldn't hold it in any longer. I had to tell Dad the truth. I had to tell him the whole story.
Nothing but the story, you know, the truth and the fuck it.
Dad, Slappy is evil, I told him. He's alive and he's evil. Dan and I threw him into the well last night. We had to get rid of him, but now he's back. Guess who's back? Slappy's back.
Why am I doing so many Eminem songs on this one? I think it's because I went, Genius, which used to just be Rap Genius with the lyrics. They have the people, the actual artists commenting on things, and Eminem does them, and they're actually pretty funny. His little commentary he does, like,
commenting on how he rapped about putting out a CD every March and then being like, yeah, I was totally planning to do that, but then I became a drug addict. Brick, dick, dook, doo, doo. Whatever.
Where was I? What? That was the worst rant ever. God damn it. Okay, but he's back. You have to help us, Dad. We have to get rid of him now. I took a deep breath.
Jesus. What the fuck? I'm just crumbling here, guys.
I took a deep breath and let it out. It felt so good to get the story off my chest. Dad pulled his head from the cabinet and turned to me. Did you say something, Trina? I was making such a racket. I couldn't hear you. Dad, I stammered. Get that dummy out of here now, Dad shouted. He stuck his head back into the cabinet. How can a whole frying pan disappear into thin air? I let out a disappointed sigh, much like the listeners probably have done numerous times in this episode. A loud burst of thunder made me jump. I motioned with my head for Dan to help me. We lifted Slappy off the chair. I held him around the waist, as far away from me as possible. His gray suit was sopping wet. Water dripped off his black leather shoes. We were halfway up the attic stairs when Slappy blinked and let out a soft chuckle. Nice try, slaves, he rasped. But give it up. I'm never going away. Never. Like Jinko pants. Never going away.
Honestly, I think this is the last of the Night of the Living Dummy books, so he probably is going away, but we'll find out in chapter 27.
What a dreary morning. Rain pounded the windows. Lightning crackled through the charcoal gray sky. Thunder boomed so close it rocked the house. Don't rock the house, thunder! I felt as if the storm were inside my head. Welcome to depression. As if the heavy, heavy storm clouds were weighing me down. As if the thunder erupted inside my brain, drowning out my thoughts. Dan and I slumped on the couch in the den, watching the storm through the Venetian blinds over the big window. We were trying to come up with an idea, a way to get rid of Slappy. The room was chilly. Damp, cold air leaked through the old window. I rubbed the sleeves of my sweater, trying to warm myself. We were alone in the house.
The dummy's probably there, huh?
Right, Yoda? Come here. I thought I was alone in the house. You want to come up? Come here. Come here. I love you. I'm reading Goosebumps. You got to be quiet, okay? Mom, Dad, Uncle Cal, and Zane had gone into town. I tried to tell Dad, I said. You heard me, Dan. I tried to tell him about Slappy.
Yoda, what do you want? Okay, goodbye.
But he didn't hear me. Dad wouldn't believe you anyway, Trina, Dan replied glumly. He sighed. Who would believe? How can a wooden dummy come to life? I asked, shaking my head. How? And then I remembered. And then I had an idea. Ooh, this is the second idea she's had in the whole book. I jumped up from the couch. I tugged my brother by the arm. Come on! He pulled back. Where? To the attic. I think I know how to put Slappy to sleep for good.
Ooh, that'll be good for the listeners. Unless there's a give yourself goosebumps with Slappy, I think we'd all enjoy that.
I stopped at the attic door and held Dan back. Be very quiet, I instructed him. Maybe Slappy is asleep. If he's asleep, my plan will go a whole lot better. Thunder roared as I opened the door. Do you want more? Well, you're a whore. I'll keep going regardless.
You're a bore. So is this podcast. I hate myself.
I led the way up the stairs, moving slowly, carefully, one step at a time. I could hear the rain pounding on the roof and could see the flicker of lightning on the low ceiling. I stopped as I reached the top of the stairs and turned toward the dummy collection. A flash of lightning through the window cast the shadows of their heads on the wall, just like every cheesy cliche movie ever. As the lightning flickered, the shadows all seemed to be moving. Dan stepped up behind me. Here we go. Now what?
he whispered. I raised a finger to my lips and began to tiptoe across the floor. Thunder boomed. It sounded so loud, so much louder up here under the roof. When Dan and I dragged Slappy up here this morning, we had tossed him down on the floor. We were too freaked and frightened to spend time propping him up on his chair. We just wanted to dump him and get away from the attic. I saw Slappy in the flickering white lightning. Wait, white lightning's just moonshine, right? Y'all drinking? Lying on his back in the center of the floor. The other dummies sat around him, grinning their silent grins. I don't know what just brought this up right now in my mind, but I've had a couple people tell me that they drink Steel Reserve while listening to this podcast, and it makes me very happy. And I wish I had some right now, but it was a weird day in general, so I'm just drinking vodka and that one beer. But I appreciate that thoroughly. It's fucking rad as hell. I love Steel Reserve. I took a step closer, and then another, moving as silently as I could. I peered down at the evil dummy. His arms were at his sides, his legs were twisted around each other, and his eyes were closed. Yikes! His eyes were closed. He was asleep. I took another few steps toward Slappy, but I felt Dan's hand land on my arm. It doesn't say land on there, but he felt the arm and it made rhymes again. God, I'm good at that. Tugging me back. Trina, what are you going to do? He whispered. My eyes darted to Slappy, still asleep. Thunder roared all around. It sounded as if we were standing in the middle of it. Remember those weird words I read? I whispered to my brother, keeping my eyes on the evil dummy. Remember those weird words on that slip of paper? Dan thought a moment. Then he nodded. Well, maybe it was those words that brought him to life, I whispered. Maybe it's some kind of chant. Dan shrugged. Maybe. He didn't sound too hopeful. I saw you tuck that slip of paper back into Slappy's jacket pocket. I told my brother, I'm going to take it out and read the words again. Maybe the same words that bring him to life will also put him back to sleep. You know what's funny? I'm sure there's been a bunch of people that were born under the sentence of, you want to do it? Right? But there has to be a couple people that were murdered, right? Or someone being like, all right, you want to do it? Point is, you know, same thing with Slappy, but I don't know if it's ever coincided where someone was born because of the words and died because of them, but I'm sure people were born because of them and died independently. Forget it. Let's just keep going. Of course it was a crazy idea, but a dummy coming to life was crazy too. And a dummy trying to turn you into his slave was crazy. It was all crazy. So maybe, baby, my hazy, crazy idea was crazy enough to work. Good luck, my brother whispered, his eyes on the sleeping dummy on the floor. I made my way over to Slappy. I knelt down on my knees beside him. I took a deep breath and held it, like doing a whippet. Wah, 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 wah. Then slowly, slowly, I began to reach my hand down into his jacket pocket. I knew the slip of paper was inside that pocket. Could I pull it out without waking up Slappy? I lowered my hand. Lowered it. My fingers touched the top of the jacket pocket. Still holding my breath, I began to slip two fingers inside. Heyo. Gotcha! Slappy shrieked as his hand shot up. He grabbed both of my wrists and began to squeeze. Chapter number 28. I was so stunned I nearly fell on top of him. As I struggled to keep my balance, his wooden hands dug into my wrists. They tightened around me, cutting into my skin. Let go of me! I screamed. I struggled to pull my arms away, but he was too strong. Too strong. Like Dune. You can't see what I'm posing right now, and I look great. The hard fingers dug into my wrists. They squeezed harder, harder, until they cut off all
circulation. Let go of me, let go! My cry came out a shrill wail. I give the orders, slave. Slappy hissed. You will obey me. Obey me forever, or you will pay.
You can't just tell your slaves they'll pay. Slaves don't get paid, so they don't have money. Oh, he means like they'll die. Okay, I get it.
Let go, let me go! I shrieked, I tugged, I struggled. Old to my feet. I jerked my arms up and down, but Slappy didn't loosen his hold. His whole body bounced in the air, hit the floor, bounced up as I pulled, but his hands gripped even harder. I couldn't free myself, and the pain, the intense pain, shot down my arms, down my sides, down my whole fucking body. Pick me up, slave, the dummy hissed. Pick me up and put me in my chair. Let go, I cried. You're breaking my wrists. Let go. The dummy uttered a cold laugh in reply. Birds cold.
That was my cold laugh and a terrible joke.
The pain shot through my body. My legs wobbled. I dropped back to my knees. I turned in time to see Dan dive toward us. I thought he was going to grab the dummy's hand and try to set me free. Instead, Dan grabbed for the jacket pocket. Slappy let go of my wrists, but not in time. Dan pulled the slip of paper from the pocket. Slappy swiped at Dan's hand, trying to grab the paper away, but Dan swung around. He unfolded the paper and raised it to his face, and then he shouted out the mysterious words that were written there. Karu Mari Odana Loma Molanu Karano. Would it work? Would it put Slappy back to sleep?
That was a short chapter. I'll read the next one if I didn't get a text. I got a text previously. Damn, I got three texts. Fuck it, I'll read the next one anyway because it's short as well. My fiance Conchetta was on the Tower of Terror at Disneyland, and they sent a picture of her on there, and she was freaked out, and it made me happy because I love her.
Chapter 29, that's how old Dune is, for another month and 7 days. That's a week. I rubbed my aching wrists and stared down at the grinning dummy. He gazed back at me and then winked. His laughter roared over the thunder, over the hard, steady drumming of rain on the roof. You cannot defeat me that way, slave. Slappy cried gleefully.
I would have just said, you cannot defeat me, rather than indicating that there is a way to defeat me, and it's just not the one you specifically chose.
I took a step back. A chill ran down my back. Good rhyme, R.L. Stein. And my whole, making my whole body shudder. My plan hadn't worked. My only plan, my last desperate plan.
You can't refer to a plan as your last one when it's your first one, jabroni.
A total failure. I caught the disappointment on Dan's face. The slip of paper fell from his fingers and floated to the floor. You will pay for this, Slappy threatened. You will pay for your foolish attempt to defeat me. He pushed his hands against the floor and started to climb to his feet. I backed up and saw the other dummies move. All of them.
Wait, did reading the thing make them come alive? Oh, fuck, I'm excited. Let's figure out what's going to happen, won't we?
Shall we? Was a better question. Shut up. I read this, you don't. All of them. They were sliding off their chairs, lowering themselves from the couch. They stretched their skinny arms, flexed their big wooden hands. Their heads bobbed, their knees bent as they started to shuffle toward us. They had all come to life. 12 dummies brought to life by those strange words Dan had cried out. 12 dummies.
That's how I feel about juries, am I right? That's a form of voting, and you know I don't like voting.
12 dummies staggered toward Dan and me. We were trapped between them, trapped in the circle as they shuffled, dragging their heavy shoes, their eyes wide locked on Dan and me.
And as they staggered and shuffled, moving stiffly, grinning so coldly, closing in on Dan and me. It's taken me so long to record this that I now have my cat Scarlet next to me. So all pets have cycled through and fucked with me while recording. What the hell is that vibrating sound under my home? What the fuck? Alright, pod's more important than me exploding. Let's just do this. Chapter number 31. I poked Dan and turned him to the stairs. We both cried out as Zane climbed up to the attic and squinted across the long room at us. Did he see the struggling dummies? Did he see that they were all alive? I turned back in time to see the dummies all collapse in a heap, all Toy Story style. Whoa! I cried, my heart pounding. I blinked several times, possibly 182 times. I didn't believe what I saw. The 12 dummies lay lifeless on the floor, arms and legs in a wild tangle. Mouths open, eyes gazing up blankly at the low ceiling. Slappy lay sprawled in the middle, his head tilted to one side. I saw the blank stare in his eyes, saw the open-mouthed wooden grin. Just like George Washington. He was completely lifeless now, as lifeless as all the others. Had the other dummies somehow destroyed his evil? Would Slappy remain a lifeless block of wood forever? I didn't have time to think about it. Zane came hurrying across the attic, an angry scowl on his face. His eyes were on the pile of dummies. Caught you! Zane cried to Dan and me. Caught you both, planning your next trick. I knew you two were the ones. I'm telling Uncle Danny what you were doing. Jesus, what a snitch that Zane is, am I right? Alright, finishing this cocktail, or at least having a little bit.
The final chapter, the 30,
Of course, no one believed Dan and me. Of course, everyone believed Zane. We were in the worst trouble of our lives. Dan and I were grounded forever. Another show that's stolen from R.L. Stein, Grounded for Life? Okay, it's just a ripoff of Night of the Living Dummy 3, alright? We probably won't be allowed to leave the house until we're in our 40s. The next day, Zane and Uncle Cal were at the front door, saying goodbye. It's a terrible thing to say, but Dan and I were not sad to see Zane go. I hope I never have to come back here, he whispered to me in the hall. Then he put on a big, phony smile for Mom and Dad. Zane, what kind of camera would you like? Dad asked, putting a hand on Zane's shoulder. You have a birthday coming up. I'd like to send you a new camera for your birthday. Zane shrugged his big shoulders. Thanks, he told my dad, but I'm really not into photography anymore. Mom and Dad raised their eyebrows in surprise. Well, what would you like for your birthday, Zane? Mom asked. Is there something that you're in? Something else you're interested in? Sorry, the mom, she stumbles. She's drunk. I didn't address that in the previous, 31 chapters. But the mom, she has a problem with alcohol. That's why she stumbles when she speaks. It has nothing to do with me. Is there something else you're interested in? Zane shyly lowered his eyes to the floor. Well, I'd kind of like to try being a ventriloquist like you, Uncle Danny. Dad beamed happily. That creep Zane had said just the right thing. Maybe you have a spare dummy you can lend Zane? Uncle Cal suggested. Dad rubbed his chin. Well, maybe I do. He turned to me. Trina, run up to the attic and pick out a good dummy for Zane to take home. Not one of the old ones, but a nice one that Zane can enjoy. No problem, Dad, I repeated eagerly. I hurried up to the attic. I hoped they didn't see the enormous grin on my face. Can you guess which dummy I picked out for Zane? I know, it's horribly mean, but I had no choice, did I? Here's a good one, Zane, I said a few seconds later. I placed the grinning dummy in Zane's arms. His name is Slappy. I think you two will be very happy together. I hope Zane has fun learning to be a ventriloquist, but I have the feeling he may have a few problems, because as Zane carried Slappy into the car, I saw the dummy wink at me. The end. Oh, fuck that. I hate the Goosebumps that end in such a way that it's like, nothing's really wrapped up. Like, Zane is already a kid that's timid and uncomfortable and kind of, I don't know, someone that we can all relate to. Especially if you're listening to this goddamn podcast, you know? No one that's, no offense, but no one that's super normal is going to be listening to this, right? It's like kids' books read by a drunk man that's about to turn 30. You know, like, I think we relate to Zane more than the main character. You know, he was awkward and timid and uncomfortable. And then the fact that he had a growth spurt made him more uncomfortable. And then he had one little passion, which is like something to fixate on, which I think that we all have. I used to be fucking obsessed with comic books and Star Trek and tons of other things. And now I'm doing a little better, doing kind of, you know, working on wedding and this and that. But like, like it sucks that the dummy was, you know, pawned off to Zane. I feel like Zane's one of us, and the narrator was the type of person that would give a evil, malicious, slave-driving dummy to one of us. And I don't like that at all. But, you know, I'm glad I finished this. My fiancé is going on one last roller coaster at California Adventure at Disneyland, or I guess a different park that's across from Disneyland, and then coming home, and I'm going to groom myself because I have to go get a driver's license picture taken tomorrow, and it'll last till I'm 45. My current one was taken when I was 15, and I still have it, and I'm about to be 30, and the next one will last another 15 years, so Jesus Christ, time flies. Anyway, I'll live forever with the Sweet Goosebumps podcast. Oh God, what am I doing? Seriously, people that were listening to the first episode, I guess you guys all listened to the first one, then second one, that only makes sense. Hit me up if you have job offers for me. I'm dead serious. I thoroughly appreciate it. I genuinely need it. And to anyone that hits me up and anyone that doesn't hit me up at Dune at Dune Reads Goosebumps, stay spooky, bitches.